Essentially, everybody has to get married, but some souls, for whatever reason, is a decree from Shamayim that they're not going to get married in this world, for whatever reason. Maybe they did something in a previous life, and in this world they don't. But in essence, everybody has to get married.
But is it okay not to get married?
No, it's a big
It's
mitzvah.
not? No, but when you say from the Shemaim, is it
If
different?
from Shemaim something is decreed, it doesn't matter what the person is going to do, it's not going to help.
Yeah, but
But
it's okay, I'm saying?
no,
It's not okay, right?
if a person is not married in this world, he has to look, he or she, what am I doing wrong that I'm not finding my other half? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Because Bechlal, we know that if something comes to me, if I get a signal, something's not working right, maybe I'm not doing something right. The same way that you're driving your car, and suddenly the orange light that looks like a fuel tank gets lights up, so you know you ran out of fuel. And then the red light turns up, you know you're low on oil.
It's a lot of people, they're afraid to get married because it's a
That's
lot of
a that's a
divorce.
this is a what?
It's a lot of divorce.
So that's not the right attitude.
I know it's not the
So
right
in this
attitude,
case,
but how you can remove this big fear, because it's a big thing when somebody has experienced something in life or the parents were abusive and they're afraid to get married, you know?
then that person needs to seek either a guide that will actually, there's no answer. There's no like what answer, do A, B, and C, and everything will be okay. If a person has some type of, like you're saying, an issue, he needs to find a guide, whether it's a spiritual guide, like a rabbi that will support him, or any type of guide that will actually get him out of this stage, because it's not good. Every person needs to get
So you're
married.
saying that the tikkun is not going to happen, people who are not married, which is
The
not
thing
good.
is that nobody really knows if the tikkun is not to be married. I can tell you already that Hashem wants only good. So Hashem wants you to be married, you or anyone who's not married. So even if chas v'shalom a person has to go through something in this world, there's still what's called ratzon ha'elyon, the desire from above, so something will be good. So if chas v'shalom something is not working well in this world, the first thing that a person needs to do is look, what am I doing? Maybe I'm doing something wrong that I'm blocking this bracha from coming to me. So one person maybe doesn't get married, one person has a problem with parnasa, one person has a problem with shalom bayit. If each person has a problem to deal with, either the problem came from above and Hashem just wants to see how the person is dealing with the problem, either the person is doing something and he's preventing from the bracha to come. Sometimes we affect the result of what's happening. So sometimes a person can do a certain sin or a certain act, and that act blocks this shefa, this bracha, that blessing that comes to him. So it has nothing to do necessarily with the tikkun. Bechlal, when a person, any problem that a person happens, first thing he needs to do is, wait a minute, something happened? Let me see. It says in the Gemara, yefashpesh b'ma'asav. You should start looking like yefashpesh is like going through things. Now, chas v'shalom, something happened, a problem. So a person needs to say, oh, a red light, let me see. Maybe I hurt somebody. Maybe I took some money that is not mine. Maybe I insulted somebody. Maybe I did Chilul Hashem. Maybe I did something that I can correct it. So if Hashem puts in front of you a problem, it's for you to realize, wait a minute, maybe not 100%. Maybe let me check. Maybe I'm not really particular with the Shabbat. Maybe I'm not really particular with kosher. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I hurt somebody 20 years ago and I never apologized and that person is upset at me. So it's not necessarily that you came to this world with a decree that person will not get married. Some do. But I believe that the problem in our generation is not necessarily a problem that came from a previous life. It's like how you said, all sorts of fears and all sorts of things that people rather not get into a situation that they have to deal with, which is the wrong attitude. Because the ultimate happiness is to be married. It depends on the marriage, of course. But the ultimate happiness, you want to get married, you want kids, you want a person wants a life.
What is that in some of us that we have a sixth sense or very strong, something that is going to happen I don't know which one it is. I think, and it will happen, or it's going to happen, and then I see it is going to happen, and I can't prevent it. Which one is it?
What do you mean? You mean which sense it is?
Yeah, no. Which one is it? If something is going to happen in a few days, and I see it is coming to me, is it because is it because I think and it's happening?
No.
Or it's supposed to happen,
yeah,
and then I see it coming?
Exactly. The second one. Supposed to happen and you see it happening.
So what is that this coming from? It is
the short explanation is, I said before that we have five levels of our soul. The highest level of the soul is called Yechida. And it's sitting in the headquarters in Shamayim. And it sees everything. Also the future. Now, it's connected to your soul in the body.
Yes.
But most of us don't have a connection.
Yes.
But sometimes, you do a certain mitzvah, a very big mitzvah, or a good deed, or you do something very, very special, and you open a little path.
Yes.
So there's a connection between the Yechidah and to the Nefesh in the body. And the Yechidah sends you a little email with an information. It sees the future. So it sends you a little bit of a knowledge, and you like either get like what people call a deja vu, or you see something that is about to happen, and then it happens after a day or two. It's because you got some information from above. And it usually happens when a person purifies himself, so elevated himself, or does a real big mitzvah, and then he opened like a little path that a little bit of information gets trickled in. And then you get a little bit of information from above. Some people get it when they dream. Some people get it when they're awake.
Yes.
Yeah?
Is it?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well,
the thing is that there's four types of dreams. The first type of a dream is in the right when you fall asleep. And these dreams are usually nonsense. It's usually the fumes from the food, they go up to the brain. And you dream nonsense. That's the first type. Then you have the dreams that are in the middle of the night. And these are the dreams that your neshama goes up. It sees all sorts of things. And it comes down to the mind like a mishmash. All weird things. But there's no, not my mashiut in it. There's nothing.
Substance.
Yeah, it's not real. It's nonsense. Your mind, what your mind saw the whole day, takes all the information and makes a mishmash. But then there's two other dreams, the one that you write before you wake up, and these are the dreams that are, you can see really from what's going on above, because the neshama goes up to Shamayim. The problem is, there's the dreams that you, when you're deep, 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 deep sleep, and then the dreams that right before you wake up. If a person is very pure and the thoughts are pure, all day long the thoughts are pure, and the person doesn't have any bad thoughts, and the eyes are pure, everything is pure, then the dream will come very clear. And if the thoughts during the day are not pure, then the details that the neshama gets mixed up in things, and you get messages, but the dream is not making sense. So it confuses you, or scares you, or you don't understand. So first of all, dreams are not something bad. Second thing you want to do is you want to make sure that your kosher diet is very strict, because people think that kosher is just the cheeseburger, or not eating pork. The kosher has much more deep things to it than just, you know, checking the food. And it affects directly your brain. We were talking about the garments before of the soul. And the kosher food affects the garments of machshava. So your thoughts are going to automatically be pure. And then your dreams are going to be more organized. So if a person has a lot of dreams, first of all, he has to keep himself very pure. Very pure thoughts, very pure, looking at the right things, not saying anything, not pure, not lying, not gossip, not lashon hara, not anything bad. And more than that, before you go to sleep, you have to prepare yourself. You have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. But the whole Kriyat Shema Lamita, not just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And when you prepare yourself before you go to sleep, then the dreams will come a little bit more organized. It will make a little bit more sense. And some people, yeah, they get a lot of information. They wake up in the morning, they remember the entire dream, and they get all sorts of messages. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, if you said before, you see something bad, I see also bad things. You can do it. Sometimes you see a car driving 150 miles an hour, and you see the person crossing the street, you're like, ah!
It's done already.
And you just see it. It's just basically Hashem is telling you, you happen to be here to see what I'm doing. You can't change it. You can't affect anything. Some things you can. But the thing is, if you want to be in touch with such a spiritual thing, you have to become very spiritual. Because your essence, your neshama, is pure. So you get all sorts of information, but the digesting tools, the thoughts, are not pure. So it gets all mishmash, and then it becomes either it can be a nightmare, it can be something that doesn't make sense. So the cure for that, you make yourself very, very holy and very pure. But bechlal, do kriyat shma lamita before you go to bed. That focuses the whole thing. Hold on, there's somebody in the end. Yes, Chazak, loud.
There is no way the Torah talks about believing. Torah always talks about knowing. Knowing I am God.
But there's places in the Torah.
To do this, knowing to do that. So we are not here to believe something.
But it actually says in the Torah, V'yaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. So there is places in the Torah that says that there is the level of emunah. It's a higher level actually than knowing. The Torah is talking about in different places about believing.
But almost 99% of Torah is about knowing.
Yeah? V'yadat et Hashem Elokecha. That's another different level of knowing Hashem. There's many different madrigot, levels, how you interact with Hashem.
It doesn't matter if we believe or not, we should know Torah, we should study Torah.
Yeah?
We are here to know Torah, not to believe Torah, no?
You have to know both. You have to know and believe. One chooses to know more. The thing is that what you know is limited to what your brain can understand. So your level of knowledge is limited. Belief, there's no limitation. I can't hear you.
Knowledge and knowing is different.
Yeah, but even knowing something, if you want to know something,
knowledge.
Yes. Yeah? But belief is higher than that. Because you don't know, you're not sure. It says in different places. Hashem tells you, you have to know, you have to believe, you have to trust. You have to do everything. It's almost like, I'm going to go, sometimes you know, I know a friend of mine, he's a rabbi. He's a rabbi of a shul. And in the morning, he teaches in a yeshiva. He's a rabbi for the kids. So one time, he was the teacher of his son. So in the morning, he was the teacher. In the afternoon, he was the father. On Shabbat, he was the rabbi. He had many different jobs. One time when he was in the classroom, he had to be a teacher to his son. He can't just be...
father.
Yeah. There's even a story in that respect that one time he was very tough with the child, next to all the friends. So later on, the child came and says, Rebbe, can you tell my father to be a little bit easier on me? So Hashem is our teacher, He's our father, He's our Rebbe, He's everything. You have to know in which level that you want to interact, in what level you're approaching. Here you're approaching with belief, here you're approaching with knowing, here you're approaching with loving, here you're approaching with fear. Each way that you want to interact with Hashem, you're approaching with a different attitude. So in the Torah it also says that we have to believe. And in the Torah it says, V'yadata et Hashem Elokecha, you have to understand. In the Torah it says all the aspects how you have to approach Hashem. You have to approach Hashem in everything. You can't just approach Hashem in knowledge. Because you're only holding one channel where you're communicating with Hashem. Hashem is... The thing is, if you go now to a hospital, Lo Aleno, and you see the heart patients connected to the monitor, you see the thing go up and down. It goes up and down. If chas v'shalom, the line is straight, then the person is dead. When it goes up and down, it means the person is alive. So one time you're up, and you're strong, and you believe, and you know, and you do everything, and one time you're down, and you're missing a little bit, and then you're up, and then you're down, and then you're up, and you're down. The point is that when you're up, is you take a lot of air, knowing that when I'm going to be down, I'll have how to elevate myself up. When a person goes down, it means that he can only go up. So they constantly go up and down. How and what, and that's, you know, each individual is different. One person needs to approach the how like this, and one person approaches the how like that. But each person is different. Wait, both of you are waiting so long. You and then you. Sorry.
It's a true concept.
I understand. The thing is like this. Ben Adam and Chava, sorry, I'll say it differently. When Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, he was by himself. And then Hashem says, Lo tov al Adam liot levado. It's not good for the man to be by himself. Evra lo ezer kenegdo. I'm going to create for him an ezer kenegdo. Two completely different things. Ezer is a helpmate, kenegdo against him. So Rashi says, Im hu zacha, if he merits, he tia ezer. She's going to be a helpmate. If hu lo zacha, if he doesn't merit it, it tia negdo. She's going to be against him. So we see in one thing, it can be positive and negative. If he merits it, then his wife will be his helpmate. If he doesn't merit it, she's going to drill a hole in his head. That's why sometimes you can see that death can be a punishment, because the person is not merited. And if a person actually merits, the death can actually atone for many things. There's different things that we can do tshuva for them. There's one main sin that we can do tshuva for. It's Chilul Hashem. You can do tshuva for all the sins. You can do tshuva for Chilul Hashem. Well, the only thing that what mechaper, that atones for Chilul Hashem, is death. And we learn it, that 3 weeks ago we learned that Hashem gave the Torah. The second that Hashem says, Anochi. He just said the word Anochi, they all died on the spot. Parchanishmatam, their soul left their bodies. So there's many different explanations. It says, okay, you know, they saw godliness, they couldn't take the sweetness, their soul left their body. Their problem was that they came out of Egypt full of sins. So they had 7 weeks to purify themselves. But they had one sin that they couldn't do tshuva for, which was Chilul Hashem. So Hashem said, Anochi, he killed them all, and then he put them right back into their bodies. So the mitah, their death, was able to atone their sin of Chilul Hashem. So sometimes the death comes as a good thing, if the person merits it. Sometimes the death can be as a punishment if the person doesn't merit it. So everything can be used to something positive, and can be used for something negative. The entire world, almost anything you look at, you can look at something and say, I'll use this, utilize it to something positive, and I'll utilize it to something negative. You can take money and utilize it to amazing things. Give it to charity and build yeshivas and help poor people and support widows and many, many things. You can take money and kill people and give, I don't know what, I don't want to even give examples. Look, for example, now, you look at the internet. You can look at the internet as the worst thing that happened to the world. So much impurity, so much problems. But on the other hand, you can look at the internet and say, wow, look what a tool. I can now record myself, and I now put the video online, and thousands of people will see it. And with one click of a button, 10,000 people can hear me talk. So everything in this world you can take, and you can use it for positive, you can use it for negative. Same thing with death. Death can be utilized for something positive if the person merits, and death can be used as a punishment for something negative if the person doesn't merit. All depends on the person, what level he's holding. So Hashem can turn the coin. One time it's here, one time it's here. It depends on you. And exactly like that, there's many different explanations. Everything Hashem can do, can use it for good, can use it for bad. So you find in many different places in the Torah, sometimes the death is good, sometimes the death is not good. It's like you say, it's a punishment. But even that it comes in a punishment, that's also part of the godly plan. that it had to come like that. You know, there's a different concept that you say, if something similar to what you're saying, if everything was already decreed from above, and the day that I'm about to die is already decreed from above, how come there's certain mitzvot that says leman yarichun yamecha, that you, if you do this, you'll have a long life. You honor your father and mother, you'll have a long life. You do mitzvah shiluch haken with sending the bird away, you'll have a long life. So what if I'm decreed to have a short life? Now I'll do this mitzvah and will make my life longer? Here it's hinted that it's talking about in a spiritual way. The arichut yamim is not necessarily in this world. Actually, it does help in this world, because a person can have a long life in regards to that the life is good, and a person can have a long life and the life is bad. So everything can be utilized in many different ways. Can be utilized in a positive angle, can be utilized in a negative angle. So even when the Torah contradicts itself, in essence, it's connecting two big opposites, two nigudim. It will connect them. Even when there's a contradiction, because the contradiction is here to separate the two nikudot, the two options. Now, the machine is just a tool that one can use in this world to help. If a person is supposed to die, he's going to die. It doesn't matter what machine is going to be there.
Okay, it means it's not time so that person is
dying. If a person is supposed to die, like you see in our days, unfortunately, so many people are battling the horrible disease. Some make it, some don't. Which means, okay, you can give credit to technology and to medicine and to research, but at the end of the day, that's just the tool that God uses. If the person is about to die, all the doctors, all the tools, all the medicines will not help. And if sometimes a person is not supposed to die, nothing's going to happen. He's not going to die. So at the end of the day, even the doctor is just a shaliach, he's just an emissary of God that is allowed to pull a little bit of strings, and the miracle is by God. The thing is that if there's a decree from above for a person to die, that's what's going to happen. And it's very hard to change the decree. But it is possible. You see sometimes that chas v'shalom, a person, there's a decree and the person is very, very sick, and you see the whole family doing tshuva, and suddenly a miracle. Because there's so much merits, that the merit from the entire family doing tshuva, that person was saved. The thing is that there's a misconception. When there's a gzerah, a decree from Shamayim, you can't cancel it. There's no such a thing. Because when there's a decree from Shamayim, the Midat Adin doesn't agree to cancel the decree. That's why we see on Yom Kippur, we say, Utshuva, Utsdaka, Utfila, Ma'avirim et Roa Gzera. The translation is charity, praying, and repenting. They move the Gzera, the decree. Which means if Chas v'Shalom is a decree on somebody, you can't cancel it. But you can move it. Shal Avir, you can move it all over. So if a person has a lot of Zchuyot, and they're all saying somebody Chas v'Shalom is very sick, and the entire family is becoming, doing tshuva and doing a lot of mitzvot, the gzera, the decree can actually move, and that's how you see, you make room for the miracle to happen.
What do you mean by moving? You mean postponing?
No, moving it to somebody else.
Oh, to somebody else?
Chas v'shalom. Usually it goes on the Sonei Israel, on people who are the enemies of us.
Oh.
It's not that they're like, and then, okay, I'm going to give it now to that person. La'avir, I don't know, maybe I'm not translating it right in English. La'avir is to pass over. So if chas v'shalom, there's a decree. It's not exactly Passover, because Passover is a lifsoach. La'avir is to give over. But the thing is that the decree is not giving over to your neighbor, chas v'shalom. Usually it's thrown on the enemies of Israel. And that's why you see suddenly an earthquake in Syria or whatever. I'm just giving an example. No, in my opinion, if you want to hear my opinion, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily like that, but my opinion, she's asking about Daesh. One of the worst sins a man can do, and a woman too, she's also a partner, is to spill the semen of the man. A man is not allowed to spill his semen if it's not for procreation. If he does it by himself, if he does it with a woman that they're not married, even when the woman and the man's husband are married, the drops cannot come out if it's not for the sake of procreation. And the Zohar is very, very particular and very harsh about everything that has to do with it. So the Zohar explains that there's the devil. So we don't really call him a devil, we call him the Samech Mem. He has a name. He's like the main Sar of the Klipot. And he has a name. We don't say his name, we just call him by his abbreviation, Samech Mem. And he has a wife. And she is very, very wicked. She also has a name. Her name is Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Taf. We don't say the name. Half the Zohar is just talking about that. Shem Erachem. The Zohar explains that when a man and a woman are together having relations, this woman, Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Taf, stands there waiting for one drop to fall out. Not to talk about somebody who's not religious, or something that is completely, you know, a woman and man when they're not married, or everything, all their other forbidden relations. And we're talking right now about a religious couple that they're doing it the right way. She's standing next to the bed for one drop to fall out. She takes this drop, and she impregnates herself. And she, the word that the Zohar says, molida, she gives birth to demons. That's what the Zohar says. So my opinion is, if you look at our generation, 2,500 years ago, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that our generation, Ikvata de Meshicha, the generation before Mashiach comes, is going to fail be'arayot, in all the forbidden relations. 300 years ago, Rabbi Nachman from Breslev said, this generation will all, the biggest yetzerara will be the arayot. You see, in our generation, that the biggest problem in our generation is all that has to do with all these, I don't know how you say arayot in English, all the forbidden relations, all the zima, all the, I don't even know how to translate it.
Semen?
Not semen. All the impurity, immorality. That immorality, impurity, etc., etc. And you see that in our generation is like the worst that it's ever been. Even though we didn't invent the wheel, 3,000 years ago they were also like that. But now it's very accessible and very easy. And you see all the, I don't even give all the explanations. But our generation is very, very bad in that respect. And all these semens, these drops that are falling all there, these are all these shadim, these daesh. This is my opinion. You don't take my words and say, that's it, that's how it is. The way how I see it, because they're not human. Humans don't cut heads off. And they don't do all sorts of weird things. I don't think they're humans. I think they're demons. Think they're demons?
The people who get killed, what they are.
The good people that they kill?
Yeah.
They're korbanot. Well, I don't know what they are. That I don't know. But these thousands of these terrorists, I don't think they're human.
No, they're not.
I don't think it's a. Even the non-Jews have a nefesh. They're human. They have something godly in them. Even then, all the rest of the nations, they have nefesh, they have a ruach. They don't have a neshama, but they have a nefesh and a ruach. These guys, I don't think they're human. And I believe that what the Zohar is talking about, how she gets impregnated and she molida, she gives birth to shedim, to demons, I think that's a good way to categorize them. And that's, I think, what's happening. And that's why we see that it's actually kind of threatening the stability of the world. And this is exactly what it does in the spiritual level, that when Chas v'Shalom, all this immorality, it brings this impurity to the world. And we suffer from that. We're going to dedicate the class Le'ilu Nishmat Immanuel ben Ketia or Keshia?
Ketia.
Ketia v'Chanoch. And this is Matay Ptira, Chafd Aleph. Okay. So, Shalkoch. So we're going to dedicate this shiur Le'ilu Nishmat Immanuel ben Chanoch. And anyone wants to dedicate tonight? Baruch Hashem, everything is good. So she aliyat neshama bezrat Hashem bezruchot ha'shiur hazeh sheizkeh lemaalot ha'Torah. Technically, yes, but we are Jews and we are connected directly to God. And if you connect yourself to God, no spell will work.
I know.
You know, people come and they want to buy all sorts of good luck charm and all sorts of hocus pocus. Be religious. No spell is going to work on you. Keep Shabbat, eat kosher, be tznua. Don't worry. Nothing can affect a neshama of a Jew that has Torah in his hand. If the person is a rasha or has a sin, he's going to have a problem.
And if a rabbi says...
If a rabbi curses another person, he's not a rabbi. There's no such... I don't believe somebody...
With bad
that's not good. Then the person maybe has knowledge in the Torah to get the smicha for a rabbi, but a real rabbi doesn't have kavanah ra'ah. It's very easy to sit in the yeshiva 5 years with the books and to know everything inside out. That's not a real rabbi. I don't think any rabbi will do something bad. I don't know the person, I don't say anything, but I can tell you that a person that has Torah and mitzvot, no curse is going to affect him. Not ayin hara, not curses, not nothing.
What's the best thing to do for the children to get good mazal?
For the children?
Children.
So make sure that the children are doing mitzvot. You can do up until here and then...
The rest is
they have to do.
Yeah. How do you...
Not easy. You do what you need to do because you affect your kid. If you are keeping Torah and Mitzvot, you affect your kid. But also the kid has to do something. Don't worry about somebody putting a curse and don't worry about that. Make sure.
I'm not worried about that.
Teach me my
somebody asked me to ask you because
the thing is that it will not. If a person is keeping Torah and Mitzvot, nothing going to affect him.
I know that.
People buy today, they're looking for the easy way out. They buy all the
charms
and all sorts of this and spreading all sorts of onions. And it's keep like Torah and mitzvot, nothing is going to harm you. People are looking today the easy way, giving here donation, here paying here, here doing this. That's not what works. The person is shomer Torah, keeping Torah and mitzvot, nothing going to hurt him. The only one who can hurt him is Hashem. So the best thing is to do, to be strong. You're asking what to do with the kids. For you, you just have to keep on growing and growing. But you, if you want to really help them, you try to push them to the direction. Yeah. It's hard for a parent to do it because usually the kids don't want to hear the parents.
Exactly.
So you have to come, you know, David HaMelech says, King David says, Im tamim titamam. If somebody is very... innocent with you, you'd be innocent with him. If somebody comes with you in a hard way, then you come in all the tricky ways. So if a child doesn't want to listen to you when you tell him come to the Shabbat meal, come to a synagogue, then you trick them. I have a friend who has a big house and every Thursday night, barbecue. And 85-inch screen watching the game. So all the kids come, they want all the barbecue, the beers and the fun, but in the meantime he gives kosher food and he makes sure they hang out, girls and the boys Jewish, not Jewish, and he throws here something about the Torah and here and he gets them a little bit,
little by little.
Connection.
But he brings them for the steaks and the beer and the... But first don't go out with non-Jews, first mingle together. Better to mingle together, don't mingle outside. And just eat kosher food, better than you eat outside in a restaurant that is not kosher. Eat my kosher food. It's a big, big thing. So slowly, slowly. You can't come directly. You have to come like that. So you have to use your imagination.
Shalom, Baba.
Laila Tov. Hatzlacha Rabba.
I want to give you my email.
Sure.
Can you give me your phone number?
Take the card. I left the card there. Here.
The phone number is here?
Yeah. I'll write your email. You want to write it? You know, actually write it here.
Rabbi, how do you balance like the physical, not even if you're like keeping all the laws, you still get in the physical, like buying clothes. But like Hashem put it here for us to enjoy at the same time. So like, how do you balance enjoying and like what you say is like anyone can get into what you're saying and like not even want to do anything physical and like go towards religion, but I that's not healthy either, right? Like you have to.
You have
I'm saying
to
you
have
can't
a,
be in a cave and like. So you how have do you balance?
You have to find the right place. I'll give you an example. Let me just see if I can read it. MEHRANGIZ.
MEHRAIB.
Okay, Gmail.
Like if you have a bat mitzvah, like your, let's say your daughter, your wife is going to go buy a really nice dress.
No, that's good. That's for a good reason.
So do you know what I'm saying? Like how do you balance like where you draw the limit? Do you know what I mean? Especially living in LA with all the...
The limit is where it goes beyond the limit. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, well, you can. You
it's enough to drive a nice, good, new car. It doesn't have to be the best, most fanciest, shining wheels car.
But it's nothing wrong with it being a good car, like a nice.
No, it's nothing wrong with driving a nice car or living in a nice home. You shouldn't live in a bad, run-down home.
Yeah.
The thing is that there's a story that many years ago. Not so many, but about 200 years ago, we were talking about the Holocaust, was something similar in Russia. And there was a certain Tsar that came and he took all the young kids from when they were 12 and he took them to his army. And forget about just taking them to be slaves, basically, and soldiers. They couldn't do any mitzvot, nothing. And at that time, the big rabbi in that time in Russia was the Tzemach Tzedek. He's the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. And he used to go there quietly on Hanukkah, give them candles, and on Rosh Hashanah, give them, like, sneak in. And it was very dangerous. If somebody catches something like this, they kill him right on the spot. So one time they tell him, Rebbe, you know, they feed us pork. They give us not kosher food. What should we do? If we don't eat, we die. What should we do? Should we eat it? Or should we not eat it and die? So he told them, eat it. But don't lick your fingers. Mm-hmm. Don't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Hashem puts you in a situation that you have to do a sin or you have to do something that is not so good. But don't enjoy it. Sometimes it's very easy. A person says, you know, I know a person who the husband became now more observant, and the wife is not. So the wife tells him, I don't mind, you keep the Shabbat, but Motzei Shabbat, we're going to a movie. So he says, I'm religious, I don't want to go to a movie. So there's fighting, so he came and he told me, my wife made me go to the movie. I told him, did you enjoy the movie? He's like, yeah, it was a good movie. So I said, so why are you complaining? He's like, well, don't complain that she made you go to the movie. You enjoy the movie. So if you're such a tzaddik, so don't enjoy the movie. Sleep. You don't go to sleep. Right. You play with your phone. Yeah. Read something in the movie. So sometimes you're being pushed to do something you don't really like, so don't over-enjoy it. Same thing in stuff like that. Yes, it's good to drive a nice car, but don't lick your fingers. Licking your fingers like you're like, you know, you're too much enjoying it.
Okay.
This is the line where you don't want to cross.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with living in a nice house and driving a nice car and all the good things. You have a bar mitzvah, you buy a nice dress.
Okay.
The thing is that if you do it for Shabbat, that's really lichvot Shabbat Kodesh.
So you could do it towards a mitzvah.
Yeah. You want to buy the best meats in the shop, lichvot Shabbat Kodesh. You do it for Shabbat.
Yeah.
Want to buy a beautiful dress, lichvot Shabbat Kodesh.
Yeah.
It's a mitzvah to get dressed nice on Shabbat.
Yeah.
You want to have beautiful home, you're saying it's because I want on Shabbat to have many guests and I want my guests to be very comfortable. Chavot Shabbat Kodesh. Everything, it's exactly like I said to the man. Everything can be used to negative, can be used to positive.
Okay.
So I can buy a nice big car because I want to help orphans that don't know how to go to school. I want them to be comfortable in my car. It all depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fine line where you're starting to abuse it.
Okay.
The point is that if you're asking my own personal opinion, I do go to the fanatic way. Yeah, be fanatic about things. Because at the end of the day, the reward from the fanatic is greater.
Yeah, okay.
So in my life, I rather have not a good car. I have a good car. It drives. It takes me from here to here. I don't care about the color. I don't care. I came to LA.
That's the mind.
Exactly.
You know, I came now to LA. We're supposed to be here a month. I just came to lectures. My wife.
Here with your wife?
Yeah, I'm here with my wife and kids. We're doing Aliyah to Eretz Israel. Oh. And my wife, till she got the papers to go to Israel, were delayed. We only got it 2 weeks, and now she's pregnant. She has to give birth, Bezrat Hashem, in Pesach. We can't fly anymore. So, Ashgaha Pratit, we're staying here. So I now, you know, when we were brought here by a couple organizations, so they rented a place for us and they rented for me a car and everything. But now they're like, okay, you're staying now half a year. We can't like do everything for you. So I went, now I have to buy myself a car. So I need a car that has four wheels and a steering wheel and the window can open so I have fresh air. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the house, I rented now a house. It's nice. There's walls. The water is coming out. Yeah. So it has to be nice because my wife has to be comfortable and my kids need to be feel secured.
Even but if it's not in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
That's Shekhinah, they don't care. Must be in that house.
Yeah. Right. When you do it. But when you want to go all the way, so when I bought myself tefillin when I became Baal Tshuva, the best in the market, custom made from the best sofer in Eretz Israel. $2,600, one pair of tefillin.
Yeah.
Handmade, the leather.
Made so you could go all the way.
So when I became religious, so I said I have mezuzot. Each mezuzah is this big. Wow. The sofer that I know, every letter he charges $5. Yeah. But that's a mezuzah.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I'm exaggerating. No, but you want to do a mitzvah, then a Shabbat meal, you buy the best meat and the best plates and the best cups from crystal. Yeah, the best wine.
Okay.
So when you do it for a mitzvah, you do it all the way.
Okay.
You want to make an orphan happy? Yeah, he has a bar mitzvah or something. You do him or her the best.
I want to go and give Bli Nedir Tzedakah to someone, but somehow I couldn't do it. I mean, it didn't happen. I mean, what's going to happen to my kavana? I didn't do the mitzvah.
Well, there's an inyan in the Torah that says, "Machshava tavar Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaaseh." A good thought, Hakadosh Baruch Hu adds it to the act. So sometimes
you said the machshava goes the things that go.
No, but that's just thinking of doing the mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah.
Just that thought.
The mitzvah of machshava is when you're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and you're thinking how great Hashem is. That's the mitzvah of machshava. Yichud Eilah, the higher connection. You're thinking of Ahavat Hashem. You're thinking of something good that you want to do. But when you think, oh, I want to give tzedakah to him, and didn't work out, it's not that you have the mitzvah of giving tzedakah in thought. It's not how it works. The tzedakah is maaseh. You have to give it. Not in theory.
So only in Ahavat Hashem it works.
No, it can mean anything. A mitzvah in machshava can also read and understanding. You can read now something, Gemara, whatever. Whatever you read. You read something Torah. You understand. You have the mitzvah. Tefillah. These are higher.
Put into action what you read. Yeah?
Yeah, but what you're saying, the thing is like this: if you walk in the street, and a beggar comes and puts his hand out, and you go fast, you don't notice you're on the phone or something, and 3 steps down, you're like, oh, wait, and you're looking in your pocket, and he already left. You have the mitzvah because you already came. The fact that he left, so you have 80% mitzvah, not 100%. Or sometimes, you know, somebody comes and tells you, comes for tzedakah, you put your hand in the pocket. If there was money in the pocket, you would give it out, but the pockets are empty. This is where Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzaref machshava tavar lemaaseh. But there's more into the whole concept of that it's connected to the maaseh. But you can't think of mitzvot and not do it. That's the mitzvah has to be
purposely not doing it. I mean, something happens.
Yes, or you get a little bonus. But it's not the actual mitzvah. Here you have to be very careful when it comes to tzedakah, not to say it with your mouth, because then it's already a nedel. And this is the problem with many people. I go now, I'm here 2 months. Every Shabbat, different Shabbaton, a different synagogue, they come and sell the Pticha Echal, this, that, everybody, the hand goes up very easy.
They forget.
Yeah, that's very bad. One Bet Knesset I was here in the valley, they're all they're raising their hands every second. And I tell them, you know, you have to make sure If you don't pay it, you have a problem. You just said a neder. I'm giving pa'amayim chai, twice chai for this. That's a neder. You cannot pay.
I'm not going to be sure.
That's, yeah. So a lot of people, the hand goes up very easy. But when it comes to right, hurts the hand. So the mouth is very, very powerful. You can't just say to somebody, come tomorrow, I'll give you. I don't have money on me. Sometimes some people come knock on the door, you tell them, I don't have money on me, come tomorrow. That's it, you have to give something tomorrow. You can't tell them, come next day. Be careful with your mouth.
Okay, now nobody's here. Tell me about not turning up.